This is an AI-generated summary of Hansard for Friday, 31st May 1901. The House of Representatives. The debate on the Governor-General's speech continued, with Mr. F. E. Maclean of the Free Trade Party representing Lang, resuming discussion from May 30th. He noted that much of the debate had focused on fiscal questions and comparisons between New South Wales and Victoria. While cautioning against state antagonism, he argued that legitimate comparisons between these two states, each with its own fiscal policies, could provide valuable economic lessons. He acknowledged the larger territory of New South Wales, but stressed the greater costs associated with developing its resources. Mr. F. E. Maclean maintained that New South Wales' free trade policy had led to a significant increase in factory employment and expanded cultivated land. Samuel Morgan interjected, and Mr. F. E. Maclean addressed issues of direct taxation and land. Charles Kingston questioned the state's progress prior to the Reed Tariff, prompting Mr. F. E. Maclean to clarify matters concerning agriculture and its farmers, and to emphasize the end of protective policies and the spirit of retaliation. Several members, including William McMillan, George Turner, and John Chanter, contributed questions and comments relating to employment statistics, census figures, land revenue, interest rates, local government, municipal works, and expenditure on public instruction. Mr. F. E. Maclean presented government statistics from New South Wales to compare employee ratios with Victoria, though some members questioned the accuracy of his figures. He defended his stance on free trade and discussed New South Wales local government, municipal subsidies, loans, railways, and telegraphs, even addressing concerns about interest-bearing railways and criticisms of loan expenditures. Turning to trade and immigration policies, Mr. F. E. Maclean stressed that being a free trader meant engaging in unrestricted commercial intercourse. He argued that it was impossible to support a White Australia policy while adhering to free trade principles. In response to questions by Mr. Alfred Deakin and Samuel Morgan about commercial pacts and the profitability of local production, Mr. F. E. Maclean maintained his defence of free trade by pointing to the importance of the home market and the energy of peoples in Germany and America. Labour issues soon came under discussion. Mr. F. E. Maclean touched on concerns about black labour and urged members to come together, adding that workmen in New South Wales were not as well off as those in Victoria. In a notable exchange, Samuel Morgan accused New South Wales of paying 12 shillings a week less than Victoria. Mr. F. E. Maclean promptly replied, "That is not true," and later withdrew his earlier statement at the request of Mr. Speaker. The discussion then shifted back to protectionism, wages, and the home market. Mr. F. E. Maclean returned to the issues of black labour and the implications of a White Australia policy resulting from recent accomplishments. Mr. George Cruickshank, representing Gwydir, then remarked on the assembly of the Great Australian Parliament and commented on New South Wales' expenditure in converting raw materials into manufactured articles for its labourers. Questions and remarks about woolen goods, fair treatment of the Prime Minister, and the performance of various ministers flowed, with Mr. Joseph Cook and others interjecting their concerns. Debate over legislation, financial matters, revenue tariffs, and borrowing for public works continued. Mr. George Cruickshank asked the House about the potential revenue generated by a revenue tariff and engaged in a spirited exchange with members over financial estimates and the state of the landed industry, even remarking that New England was a very suitable locality for development. Frederick Bamford of Herbert briefly addressed the chamber, stating that he had no intention to speak. King O'Malley then made a remark while Mr. Bamford was speaking. Mr. Bamford touched on socialism, prompting a light-hearted response from another member that suggested all members were socialists. This was followed by jovial interjections from Mr. John Forrest and discussions regarding subsection 12 of the Constitution Act related to coining. Mr. Alfred Deakin indicated that the debate would close on Tuesday, and Mr. Joseph Cook called for limiting speeches to less than 3 hours. The day concluded with summary remarks on the diverse issues of trade, taxation, labour, and public expenditure. The Senate. The Senate session began with Senator Sir Josiah Simon asking a question. Senator O'Connor of the Protectionist Party noted that the government did not intend to proceed with other business that afternoon, hoping to close the address in reply debate early so that members could catch their trains. Formal business would continue next Wednesday. The Senate then resumed debate on the address in reply, focusing on Senator Millen's amendment calling for the immediate prohibition of further Kanaka labour importation. Senator James Drake, a protectionist from Queensland, expressed regret for having missed the initial days of the debate. He remarked that the enemy had fled and that there was little left to contend with regarding the amendment. He observed that the debate surprisingly concentrated on the pace of Kanaka labour reduction rather than on the principle behind it. Addressing differences in sugar statistics raised by Senator Pulsford, Drake explained that discrepancies were due to figures from different years. He declared, "The more you strive to get at any truth whatever from the study of statistics, the further you get away from the truth." When Senator Clemens interjected during this discussion, Drake dismissed it as merely an interjection rather than a substantive argument. Drake argued that the statistics only demonstrated that Great Britain had adopted one policy while other nations had pursued another. He noted that issues concerning exports and imports had taken center stage. After further interjections from Senators Pulsford and Harney, Drake stated, "We will suppose there is that interchange between the two colonies." When challenged again by Senator Pulsford, Drake emphasized that his focus was on the principle of imposing a duty rather than on the precise numbers. Senators Pulsford and Clemens raised concerns about the cost to the people. In response, Drake referenced remarks made by the Vice President of the Executive Council regarding the benefits of a sugar duty to local producers. Senator Charleston questioned whether Marklane fixed the price of sugar in Queensland, and Drake clarified that it fixed the price of sugar exported from Queensland to England. He explained that sugar produced in Queensland, under an import duty similar to other colonies, had to compete with sugar from countries relying on cheaper labour systems or bounties. When Senator Matheson asked why Queensland sugar could compete in Marklane but not in Brisbane, Drake replied that Parliament was in the process of abolishing black labour in Queensland. After further interjections by Senators Harney and Clemens, Drake stated that if the people of Australia demanded the abolition of black labour, they should be prepared to accommodate the resulting changes for the benefit of sugar producers, unless they intended to end the industry altogether. Senator Sir Frederick Sargood suggested that compensation might be paid to those currently engaged in the practice, but Drake rejected the idea. He clarified that every senator from Queensland believed that work performed by black labour could be done by white labour. Drake warned that if producers were forced to employ white labour at higher wages, they should not be expected to compete with countries using all black labour. When Senator Smith asked about the potential to export, Drake affirmed that protected industries could not only satisfy local demand, but could also export and compete internationally. Despite further interjections regarding pricing and financial figures, Drake maintained that the key issue was the consideration of a duty rather than the exact figures. Senator Harney remarked that a dissatisfying sentiment might be preferable to a satisfying one, and noted that coloured labour would be sent hundreds of miles away. Drake countered that those nearest to the effects of black labour were the ones who opposed it most. He also pointed out that if white labour were offered sufficient wages, it would work anywhere, though certain districts might present challenges. He stressed that the Senate's position should be secured by earning the confidence of the people of Australia, not by engaging in hostility before any attack occurred. The debate concluded with one question resolved in the affirmative and another in the negative. Later in the session, Senator George Pearce asked Postmaster General Drake about the petition from the letter carriers of Coolgardie, and Drake confirmed that it had been considered. Senator John Keating inquired about free travel for Tasmanian and Western Australian members. In response, Senator O'Connor stated that free travel by rail and water was being considered and would be dealt with uniformly at an early date. Senator Pulsford then questioned Senator O'Connor about customs and excise suggestions from protectionist associations and chambers of manufacturers. O'Connor replied that there would be no objection to laying such suggestions on the table once the tariff resolutions were introduced in the House of Representatives. A motion was subsequently made regarding correspondence about the deportation of Boer prisoners. Senator O'Connor explained that while the government had no objection to table the papers, difficulties remained with certain telegrams. When Senator Clemens asked if non-confidential communications could be tabled, O'Connor agreed, but noted that the subject matter would be incomplete without the telegrams. Senator Clemens requested a timeline for consent. O'Connor asked for fresh notice in a fortnight, and Senator Clemens agreed to wait, after which the motion was withdrawn. Other motions were made. A return showing the number of persons in each state of the Commonwealth by various age ranges, including the number of destitute married couples and their living arrangements, and a motion for copies of agreements between state governments and the Eastern Extension Telegraph Company regarding the Tasmania cable. Finally, a motion was made to adjourn until next Wednesday. This has been a LaunchLab production. LaunchLab.com.au